Tonight's scripture is the parable of the sower from Matthew 13. It says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. I love that Jesus, you know, taught in parables because that's just my favorite thing. But as I was examining and looking over this scripture, obviously, I'm examining that in this text tonight, the seed didn't change. The seed never changed. The soil in which the seed was planted is what changed. So it says that still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. Good soil. Good soil. A good soul. The soil is technically a soul. And my question for you tonight is your soul good? How's your soul? As I was reading tonight's text, you know, I don't know if y'all know, but I'm a gardener and I started gardening last year. And as a gardener, there's so many similarities that I've discovered between soil and our souls. Soil involves the outer landscape of our lives, while the soul is the inner landscape of our lives. Just like the physical landscape has to be maintained, the spiritual part of who we are must be maintained. It's not a one-time pruning or cutting away or watering. It's a life committed to the process of pruning, perfecting, and maintaining. I think often we think when we come into a relationship with Jesus that we give our hearts to Jesus and everything's good. And then all of a sudden we get really frazzled or upset when all of a sudden we feel a little anxious or something doesn't go our way. And we're maybe something came out of our mouth that wasn't necessarily, you know, the best thing that should have come out of our mouths. And it's a journey with the Lord. It's a process with the Lord. Walking with the Lord takes maintenance. Anything good in life takes maintenance. Psalm 34:14, it says, search for peace and work to maintain it. So one, search for peace. Search for peace, that means peace isn't easily found. You gotta search and look for it. Peel back some things, remove some things and search for it. But then work to maintain it. Work to maintain it, which means once you get it, doesn't mean you got it forever. You have to work. You have to put some boundaries in place. You gotta cut off some relationships. You gotta make some changes in your life to maintain it. Anything good in life, you have to maintain it. So are you up for the job? Are you up for the work of what it's going to take to follow Jesus and to get a healthy soul? How do we maintain a healthy soul? We co-labor with a gardener. It's a co-labor thing. John 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. There's so many things that he is. He's everything that we need, and he has a million names. But I've loved and I've discovered him as gardener. The gardener knows what to prune and when to water. He also knows and can identify when the soil is going bad. Anytime I say soil tonight, just go ahead and put soul there. He can identify when the soil, the soul is going bad. But we must understand the importance of the soil. The soil is the most important part of the planting process because it serves as the anchor of the plant's root system. It holds the nutrients and the water that support the life in the plant. So tonight we're focusing on two things. It's the gardener and the soil. The gardener is him, but also the gardener is me, and the gardener is you, because he's not a God who's going to force himself into your life. Are you going to accept the invitation for him to come and step into your life, in the details of your life, in the soil of your life. We are co-laboring. We see this firsthand in the garden. They're co-laboring, and they had an opportunity, Adam and Eve, to co-labor with God or co-labor with the devil. Co-labor with God. The soil is me. The soil is you. And what I want to make very, very clear tonight, and I actually am very excited because I feel like it's such a necessary message, not just for the women of this house, but honestly, a message around the world. I need y'all to understand that no one else is responsible for my garden except me. No one else is responsible for your garden, maintaining your garden, your soil, than you. On Judgment Day, you know who's gonna stand on Judgment Day? It's me and God. It's you and God. It's not you and your spouse and God. It's not you and your children and God. It's not you and your best friend and God. It's not you and your pastor and God. It's not you and your favorite podcaster and God. It is you and God, and you will be judged for the way you live your life in the earth on that day. How are you taking care of your garden? Tonight's title, are you ready for it? Disciple yourself. In the most loving way, we're calling you higher. We're growing up this year. Keep showing up, keep growing up. We're growing up this year. We're not shallow Christians. We're not a shallow house. We're about to teach you how to disciple yourself, because I'm telling you, that is the key to a healthy soul. Not what I can do for you. Not what PR can do for you. Not what a friend can do for you. Disciple yourself. Tonight I want to talk about some drills. Y'all remember tornado drills in school and fire drills and all that thing? What would happen? What would you do if they called a fire drill? Do you remember three things? Fire drill, stop, drop, and roll. That's what I'm talking about. But these drills were put into place for preparation, because preparation gives power. If I'm prepared, I'm already a step ahead of what's coming my way. So tonight we're gonna learn a few soul drills. Soul drills. And I want to identify these things, because sometimes we're walking around with unhealthy souls and we don't even know it. And it's funny because we're pointing the finger at other people and we're complaining about other things, and really it's our unhealthy soul. We're not victims. We need to work on ourselves. Okay? And this is for myself. That's why I'm including myself, because once again, there's so much grace for the journey. We're fallen. We need Jesus. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need a Savior. But our imperfect, fallen nature, there's a man that came on the scene thousands of years ago, and he walked the life, he lived the life, and he walked, and he experienced what we experienced so that he could overcome, so we could overcome. And his name is Jesus. So tonight, number one, a soul drill. This is a fire alarm. We're sounding the alarm. How do you know that your soul is unhealthy? This is one of the signs. Is I Googled it. It's actually crazy, because as I was studying gardening and the soil, unhealthy soil, it's so aligned with the soul, our soul. So number one, unhealthy soil, according to Google, is nutrient imbalance. So my question to you tonight is, what are you feeding yourself? One of the signs of nutrient imbalance is that the leaf begins to yellow or brown. So the appearance of the plant begins to change, which is why it's so important for us to slow and look at people eye to eye and get off our phones and pause and take time to gather around the table and eat with families and friends. Because if you pay attention and you open your eyes and you pause and you slow, you can actually see that something's not okay. When you look at people eye to eye, you begin to see that. Have you ever had those people where you're like, something is off, something's not okay, because eyes are the windows to the soul. And in the Bible, it says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And so when you pause, there's a saying, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. I mean, he's not going to get me to cheat on my husband. He's not going to get me to go to the club. He ain't going to get me to do a lot of other things. But what he can do is he can make me busy. So busy that all of a sudden, I don't even realize that I'm spiraling. I don't even realize that I'm overwhelmed because I'm so busy doing. I'm doing the laundry. I'm a pastor. I'm leading social girls. I'm taking care of my kids. I'm taking care of my husband. And I'm so busy that I don't even realize that inside something's a little off. And slow down and look. Some of the leaves are turning yellow and you're missing it because you're not willing to slow down and look. One of the craziest things was we went away on sabbatical, and because I didn't have access to laundry and all my to-do lists, I was just in a hotel room sitting. Because I was sitting, I had to stare at myself. And staring at myself, I realized there's something inside of me that's not okay. But it took me stopping and pausing and being patient and taking some things off my plate to identify that there's some pruning that needs to take place in my soul. Busy isn't bad, but busy can distract you from taking care of your soul. Another thing that it said is that not only does it turn yellow or brown, but it turns yellow or brown in distinctive patterns. Let's talk about patterns for a second. One yellow leaf doesn't mean it's bad soil. You have a yellow leaf? That doesn't mean your soil is bad. That means you just need to cut that thing off and keep it moving. But yellow or brown creating a pattern, there comes a time where you see the patterns of the yellow and the brown, and it consistently comes throughout the plant, which identifies that something is wrong with the soil. I know that's a little confusing, so let me just try to bring some clarity to that. If you see a yellow leaf, you cut it, you prune it, you're good to go. Hey, I said something I shouldn't have said. Ooh, prune that, keep it moving, right? I responded to how I shouldn't have. Prune that, keep it moving. My attitude wasn't the best today. Okay, prune that. Oh, I made a mistake. Prune it. But patterns? Let's talk about distinctive patterns. Yellow leaf, yellow leaf, yellow leaf. 20, 30 yellow leaves on a plant, that actually says something deeper is going on in the soil. Okay? So I want you to understand, if you're in a relationship and there's something with a mistake versus patterns are dangerous. Patterns, you need some boundaries. Patterns, you need to call out and identify, okay? So make sure and ask the Holy Spirit to identify, is this a pruning that needs to take place, or is this a toxic pattern that I need to create a boundary with? Number two, one of the things that comes up with unhealthy soil, unhealthy soul, is poor fruiting. I can't even make that up. Poor fruiting. As PR said last week, you can't fake fruit. I love it because often we look at other people's fruit and we're so worried about what everyone else's fruit looks like that we forget to look at our own fruit. If you live offended, mad, angry, check your soul. If you get highs off of gossiping, what is gossiping? What is gossiping? Talking to three or more people about it? Talking to someone who can't fix the situation? If you get highs off of gossiping, women of the house, check your soul. If you're living with someone that's not your spouse, check your soul. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love this. We're at the table tonight. I told you the paper plates are out. We're talking about what made you happy today, what made you sad, okay? You can't live with someone that's not your spouse. It's a sin. It's a sin. It's hard. I get it. It's hard. Me and PR dated for 6 years. I wanted to rip his clothes off. 6 years. But we didn't have sex before marriage because I had a man of God, a man of integrity, and I was a woman of God, and we were pursuing the things of God. Was it easy? Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we don't have hormones. But because of our conviction, we waited until marriage. If you're negative about every single thing, you have nothing to be grateful for, check your soul. What comes out of us is from what has come in. The fruit is just a result of what you've been feeding on. Okay? So the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible is very clear about it. The fruit of the Spirit is Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, it's peace, It's patience. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. And it's self-control. I love people. Send me people, Lord, that carry the fruit of the Spirit. And I've talked about this in Bible study. You know, there's sometimes there's people that can quote scripture all day, but they don't have the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know how that works. I'm like, how do you know the Bible, but you don't carry the fruit of the Spirit? So just because you're a Christian, just because you're a pastor, just because you're a leader, doesn't matter. Does their life have fruit? And I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Number three, another thing that a soul drill, a siren is going off is pollution. Pollution, it says, is the introduction of harmful materials into the environment. These harmful materials are called pollutants. They can be natural or caused by human activity. So the reality is we live in a fallen world, and I think just circumstances in life, when life is life, and it can make your soul sick and sad. And that's okay, because you're human. We're all human, right? You get the bad doctor's report, and you're staring at the diagnosis face to face, the death in your family, the closed door, the car wreck. These are pollutants to the soul. And bad things, unfortunately, happen to good people. But one of my prayers is for, not just for myself, but for you as well, is that we would continue to grow up in our faith and our spiritual maturity. That's what Paul prays is why he's in prison. He doesn't pray for them to get a car or for them to be healed. He prays for spiritual insight and wisdom, because there's power in growing up spiritually and having spiritual maturity. You just see through a different lens. And in Philippians 1:21, Paul says, to live as Christ, to die as gain. That's spiritual maturity. That's not allowing his circumstances to determine his faith or his love or his heart or his passion. Paul locked up in prison for the gospel, and yet he's writing letters to encourage other people. Give me that kind of faith. Give me that kind of spiritual maturity. But pollutants can also come from human activity. And this is what I want you to really pay attention to and ask yourself tonight as we sit in the room together and process. Please be careful who you hang out with. No, truly, with all of my heart, with all of my heart, please be careful who you hang out with, who you allow to speak into your life. Pay attention to their fruit. If it's hate, if it's offense, if it's bitterness, if it's gossip, if it's unforgiveness, if it's perversion, you will be affected by it. Not only affected by it, but you'll be infected by it. And it's not if, it's when. You know, in Social Kids and really every nursery, there's something called the crying cart. It's a big red buggy, and it's for when the kids are in the room. If they start crying, if one starts crying, they take the child, remove the child, and put it on the cart. And the reason they remove the child from the room is because if it starts crying, all the kids start crying. So they take the kid out, put all of the babies on the crying cart, and they all cry together. Isn't that crazy? It's actually so sweet, but it's who you're hanging around with, you will be affected by it. Joy is contagious. I'm telling you, if I'm being negative and I'm sad or I'm down, and someone, the other day I think I said something negative and PR was like, we're staying positive, we're speaking life, what's the best that could happen? And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, what's the best that could happen? But it was crazy because of just having him in my life to point me towards gratitude, it changed my whole perspective. Be careful who you surround yourself with. If you want to grow big people, the Lord spoke to us, it's go smaller. And so growing yourself spiritually may cost you some relationships. It may mean that you have to cut off some friendships, cut off that relationship with that boyfriend. It may mean you have to put some boundaries in place, leave the job. I don't know. Some people are working as bartenders and you're tempted and you need to cut the job off. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I don't even know why I said that. It's not even in my notes. But you got to make some hard decisions. Sometimes to follow Jesus, it takes sacrifice. But on the other side of that sacrifice, I promise you, he does exceedingly abundantly above all you could think or imagine. I'm a living testimony of that. There's also the next one, I believe it's the last one, is lack of moisture, lack of water. So my question for you, what are you drinking to quench your thirst? We're all thirsty and we're all drinking, right? We're all drinking something. If I'm out and I'm running and I'm exercising and I'm hot, don't give me a coffee to quench my thirst, you know? Don't give me espresso. Don't give me a cortado, even though I'm obsessed with the cortados. I love coffee, but there's nothing wrong with coffee, but I'm not looking for coffee to quench my thirst. There's nothing wrong with social media. There's nothing wrong with having friends. There's nothing wrong with making your money, honey. But if these are the things that are quenching your thirst, you'll remain thirsty. They'll never satisfy. He's not only the gardener, he's also the living water. And in him, our souls will be satisfied and we'll never thirst again. Back to woman at the well. Disciple your soul. Obviously, my title is Disciple Yourself, and I mean it with all my soul, mind, strength, everything inside of me, with all that I am, Disciple Yourself. But I also almost titled it Disciple Your Soul, because it's vital. I don't want you to wait on anyone else or rely on anyone else to get your soul healthy. It is your responsibility. And I'm so proud of you because tonight you just showing up tells me that you're hungry for something more. You're responsible. You're taking responsibility. You're coming out in the rain. You're showing up. And God is going to honor that. And here's some practical ways for you to do that. Some people don't know. Some people, I think if this with all due respect, I promise you, I love all of you so much. You're amazing. But look around the room. If one more person comes up to us and asks us if I can disciple them, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna spiral because I'm one person and I can't disciple you individually. I want to in my heart, I would love to. But you know, Jesus had 12, I already got 4. I got 3 kids and a husband. I'm like, how many does that leave me? You know what I mean? But I look at y'all because in my heart, I would love to. But is that realistic for me and do I have the capacity to do that? It's not realistic. And so then I think about, so what are you gonna do next? Are you gonna rely on someone else to maintain your soul, the quality of your soul, the quality of your well-being? Are you gonna dig down deep and do the hard work? Get your hands dirty, start digging. And I think what's funny is when I started to garden, I would go outside and I planted the seed. I put the tomato things around it, the kale, all that stuff, fertilized water. And then every day I would go out and check to see if I had any produce. It took months before I saw anything bud. And that's what the journey walking with Jesus looks like. I think sometimes we you know, plant seeds or seeds are planted in our lives and we want to see immediate results, but it's a journey, it's a process, and it takes patience. So I want to encourage you that God is so with you, God is so near, but tonight we're calling you higher. And it's only because we believe in you and it's for your benefit. So in order to disciple your soul, it's important to have a life of prayer. Talk to the Father. Get in the secret place. If you don't know how to pray, it's very simple. Start with just gratitude. Thank you, Father, that you woke me up today. Thank you that you've forgiven me, that you've given me another chance. Start with gratitude, thanksgiving. Get scriptures out that touch your heart and begin to declare out scripture. It's like first when you start, you know, you meet someone for the first time, you're like, okay, you know, you got to carry the conversation, work hard for it. But then over time, y'all become friends, you start to do life together. Then all of a sudden it's like, you just know, you're chilling, right? Nothing's forced. It's just your friends, you're close. And that's how it is with prayer. Just keep showing up. Keep talking to him. He loves to talk to you. And teach me how to pray. That's what they prayed in the Bible. Teach us how to pray. Just ask the Holy Spirit, hey, God, I want to know how to pray. I want a consistent prayer life. Teach me and help me, and he will. It really is that simple. Not fancy words. He knows our hearts. Talk to him, a life of prayer. Next, a life of studying God's word. Everything you need is in God's word. The truth, the way we should respond, what we do in the middle of hardships, whatever it is, his word is accessible. It's at our fingertips. And it's the truth. And the truth, what does the truth do? The truth sets us free. Get in God's word. Next is a life of suffering, unfortunately. Suffering is an invitation from the Father. Unfortunate circumstances, we run from them, but it's really the invitation where we discover different expressions of who he is. I heard about the Father my whole life, but it wasn't until my greatest suffering, holding my little lifeless stillborn baby boy, where I just, wait a minute. Is this all this, you know, there is to life? Did my sin and my failure get me to this moment? And all of a sudden, the Father came into the hospital room and he began to teach me who he was for Taylor. Not through a sermon, not from what my daddy as a PK, what he taught me, not from another worship song, but he began to take me on a journey in the suffering, teaching me that I am a God that makes all things new. I am strength in weakness. I am peace that passes all understanding. I am hope in your hopeless situation. And I begin to learn his character and who he was and is in my suffering. Also, a life of watering, pruning, and patience. Maintenance takes a lot of patience to follow Jesus. It takes a lot of forgiving yourself and giving yourself grace on the journey. But the reality is that he's willing, he's able, he's available, and he's always present. And tonight, I know that he wants you to know that he's just so proud of you. And I'm telling you, if we become a house that goes deeper in our private time, not just deeper on a Sunday to Sunday, but when we go deeper together, quietly in the secret place individually, I promise you we'll change the world. Our churches will be healthier. Our families will be healthier. Our children will be healthier. We'll break generational curses. We'll literally transform the future if we truly became disciples that followed Jesus, studied his life, became like him, and do as he did. And I so believe in you. So I want everyone to stand tonight. And I was going to have you circle up and pray for each other, but I'm like, no, it starts with us individually. So I want you to put your hand on your souls, your heart. 1,261 souls in this room. And my prayer, my heart for every single one of you is, God, take us deeper with you. Let us not gain from someone else's work and grit and commitment. It's time for us to rise up as mature believers, grow up, and go deeper. So God, tonight, here we are. We give you, gardener, the soil of our lives, our souls. And we ask that you come into the deep places of who we are and you peel back those layers. I don't know why I respond that way. I just know that I don't want to respond that way. God, get to that place. Identify the things that are hard to identify. Go deeper, the deep places. The place where their mind wanders and they think those thoughts and they perform this way for approval and because of what so-and-so did or because of what happened to him. God, the deep, deep, deep places. You're calling us higher. Give us a hunger for your word. We need your word. Your word transforms, God. So tonight we cry out and we ask you for a hunger for your word. God, begin to give us spiritual insight and wisdom into who you are. Take us on a journey. You're patient. You're holding our hand and you're taking us on a journey of discovering the mysteries of who you are. We'll never learn enough. We'll never grow enough. God, we hunger for your presence. We hunger for your word. God, reveal the mysteries in your word. God, every line, every word in the Bible, God, has such power and such weight and such revelation. I don't want to wait or feast off of someone else. I want to see it for myself, God. We want to see it for ourselves because we know that's where we're transformed. So God, I pray and I declare, God, a hunger for your word, a hunger for your presence. God, give grace and grip for the journey when suffering arrives and when suffering, we're presented with it. God, we see it and we shift our mentality to victim and woe is me to actually, God, I know this is painful, this is hard, but yet I know that I connect with you in my suffering. And because you paid the price, God, I can get up and I can be victorious, reveal who you are in new ways.